Okay, so before we start, you tell him, Angelo. All right, so let's get started. Undefended Self, I will also make available at some point last year's lecture, because each year I do a lecture, I do it totally differently because there's an infinite number of elements of the Undefended Self. What we did today in the meditation, the integration of the lower self and the higher self, is really what the book's about. Okay, it's sort of like that's the experiential. You want to get what that book's about, that's it. Okay, you have to embrace both of your qualities. So being undefended, though, is what we are teaching you to be in the program. Remember, the profile has a core quality and a defense. We call it defense because it's how you avoid being your core quality. It looks like something you need to defend. When somebody says, "Well, of course I'm defended," you know, you wouldn't know, you wouldn't believe what happened to me in my life. You know, it's like, well, but I'm your friend. You know, it's not happening right now. Why are you so crazy? And it's like, no, I got to keep doing that. So the defense is you're crazy. Okay, none of you have a justification for being defended. Let's just start there. There's no justification for staying defended other than you get some kind of pleasure out of it. Okay? We talked about negative pleasure, and you have that whole handout on negative pleasure, and it's not actually what we're even going to be talking about this morning. I just want to sort of talk about this, the concept here, and then how this works energetically in your body. Okay? So I think I got most of these quotes from the book, or I modified them, but the undefended state of being is the state of being that does not mask. I'll stand over here. The state of being that does not mask our human flaws or our divinity. And when you are in that state where you are not masking any aspect of yourself, okay, you know, you're not afraid of, you know, of the fact that you might have a very smelly body. You know, it's like, come on, got the smelly body. I actually don't have any smell at all. I'm quite embarrassed about it. You know, Margaret's always like, "You don't have any smell." You know, it's like, I try. I also have no armpit hair. It's like, you know, I had it when I was a kid. It just like just went away. It was like I have no. I'm, you know, I've got hair. I've got other hair, but it's like I'm not a man without armpit hair and smell. You know, I don't tell anybody about that. So don't tell. Okay, don't tell anybody.
How about your legs?
Clearly, I got hairy legs, but you know, so it's like I'm only a man in some places, I guess. You know, so,
but,
right under the arms, I'm a woman. All right. Just crazy. Anyway, so but it's just like so. What I want you to so I bring that up because your lower self qualities are the most fun. They're the most fun. You're bratty, controlling, manipulative, narcissistic. You know, you own it, it starts looking like fun. Okay, you don't own it, it is your hell.
But it is all about
you. It is all about you, of course. Now, see how much more fun that was? Right? No guilt and shame. Oh yeah, it is about me. That's, and it is, and so, and when you all go out and play, you aren't recognizing that when you're playing, when you're being so irreverent, when you're poking each other, when you're like, "Oh my God, there's my idiot," you know, there's my, and you're saying it in sort of like revealing yourself to people that you know are safe to reveal it with, being undefended, the lower self no longer has any charge for you. It's actually got the big charge of, "This is the best part of me. I'm a whiny, controlling bitch." Okay? Yes, it's okay. I knew somebody would cop to that, but many of you should be copping to that, okay? Because How often do you do it? But then blame the other person for why I had to do it, because it was your fault that it... No, you did it because you like it, you've done it your whole life, and you've gotten really good at it. Now, own it, and then be a whiny, controlling bitch when it's fun. You know? Call the phone company when they screwed something up. Doing it's like, do you know what happened? And I had the snow and the this, and I lost my power. And do you know what you did to me? And it's like, you know, do it. Hurt them with it.
I just called the police department driving down here, and I go, do you know what's going on in 140? Right. Wires down here. Has anybody called you?
Right. Right. But when you do it from rule keeper, it's their fucking problem. If you do it from whiny bitch poor me, it's fun. You would have really laid it on, and he would have felt really bad afterward. You know, see he gets off the phone after you did it, and he says, "That was a freaking whiny bitch." Okay, but after the whiny bitch calls, he feels terrible. Oh my God, I couldn't get to my car, and you know, there's people starving in Africa, and there's a, you know, you just lay it on because it's fun. It's, you might as well, if you're gonna do it, do it. Don't pretend that you're not doing it when you're doing it, and that's the ownership of all of you, okay? All right? So that's the other side. The lower self is really where all the fun happens. And really, it's the essence of self-esteem. A person who is not afraid to be all of who they are. So this, if you don't pretend to be more than you are, you will then dare to be all that... Oh, sorry. If you don't pretend to be more than you are, then you will dare to be all that you are. Okay? Because a person who has no ego is fearlessly willing to be whatever comes up. And usually, the thing you got to remember about yourself is, if you think, if I got rid of my ego, who would I be? Your energy system, your archetypes, these things, they don't stop throwing the same crap at you all the time. Your life doesn't change at all. You just stop defending it so much. You stop being so in resistance to, oh, well, maybe I'll lose me in the process. Oh, my God. The only chance of losing yourself, the only thing you could ever lose in this lifetime is your ego. And since you're so attached to it, it feels like you're going to die. But it's really the only thing you could ever lose. You could never lose yourself. You could never lose your soul. You can never lose anything that's of value. Nothing in your life is of value that you're hanging on to, clinging to. And when you lose it, it's teaching you who you are, not something that you should resist against, fight against, bitch about, you know, whatever. Okay? Everybody with me there? So one of the... Yeah, sure. Why don't we grab the mic? Because we're going to need it for the next element.
This won't take long. You've all had the experience of being in a dynamic with someone who is being fully themselves, who is, oh my God, did you hear that? That was my whiny bitch. She just came up. Holy cow, it's been one of those days. So an acknowledgement, honest acknowledgement, it doesn't have to be that way, that would require knowing this language. But you've been with people who sort of acknowledge that an aspect of themselves that they didn't really love has come up, but they're real with you with it. How do you feel when that happens? Do you feel like you could just drop a little bit of your defense? You can relax just that much more? Okay, so what that means is that when someone does that, when someone is comfortable in their own skin, they give you permission to relax and be more comfortable in yours. Excellent. And when people are completely disallowing of that, they have to be, whatever their role is, rigidly, all the time. How do you feel? I feel like I have to bring my whole field in real tight, and I have to watch my P's and Q's. So when you are able to do this, what you're doing is giving both yourself permission to relax and allow and be, but you're also bringing your healing to the world. Because every moment you can do that, then you're giving everyone you interact with the opportunity to feel more fully themselves. Okay, so even if it's hard today to own Whiny Bitch or Critical Judge or whatever it is that you were most concerned about, as you can breathe into that and do it, what you get is the benefit of relaxing for yourself and bringing that healing to others. So.
Thank you. Yeah. So when you're around somebody who is, and people do not have to take this course, by the way, to get here. There are people that just have figured out that it's okay to be themselves. No matter how much trauma they've had, whatever it is, or they maybe because they've had so much trauma, they've actually done their inner work and decided that, you know, like our little sign out there, you know, what is it? Be yourself, everyone else is taken. And they just get it, you know? They just get it. It's like, oh, this is it. It's just, it's what I got. It's what I can do. And you will be with a, I've got some, you know, crazy people in my history that I've hung out with, charismatic leader types. And, you know, and they will, and when you're with them, they will just go off on somebody. You know, they'll just be like, you're just at a cash register or something. And the person's like, and they're like, no, you get it, you know, bam, get over there and get that. Don't look at me. Go get the thing. I'm not wet. And then while they're doing that, and you're like, holy shit, what do? They look over at you and they wink. Right? Right? Because it's a game. They're not in their defense, they're using their power. Right? Okay? It's all a game. They're totally alive. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, this coupon expired 400 years ago. But I just got it in the mail today because the mail was late. You're going to honor it. Right. Right. And if you come in with that energy, right. You know, and the emotional intelligence specialist, you know, will do the exact same thing. They'll come up and they'll go, oh, you must have been having such a hard day. Wink. You know? You know, and they know that through their this core quality within them, they can get more, they can enjoy life more, they can work with people. They're gonna do it for fun, not just because they have to. Nobody has to do anything. You choose to do it. Okay, so I have two just of the whole book. I'm just gonna the concept of evil is really important for you to get. Because we have an argument with evil. It's like we're not allowed, it's just so hardwired into you not to be evil, okay? That, of course, you're all evil, okay? And I'm not going to go in deeply into sort of evil. Next year you read the book, Fear No Evil, and we really start recognizing all of the levels of evil. But basically, the most evil thing that exists in the world is rejection. Any time you reject someone else, you are an evil person by nature. Because our souls are all unified. And if we take our physical individual self, gel ourselves down so far down into just sort of like this my self-righteous stance of you're bad, I'm good, okay, you negate all of soul at one time by saying no to life, to people, to anything. Anything you withhold from, whether you are physically doing it, emotionally doing it, or just withholding, just serenity mask, okay? You don't exist to me anymore. You're dead to me. That is the most evil act in the planet. So much better to just go kill him. At least it was honest. So just recognize that your dissociation from life, your judging people, your those things, that's the source of all evil. It is why we allow evil. That's why evil is allowed in the planet, because all the other evil acts, the actual honest evil acts where people are actually murdering, killing, and genocide and things like that, because we're okay. I was just going to work. You know those people getting killed over there? Not my business. It is your business. I don't know how it's your business, but dissociating from the reality of it when it comes up is evil. And so it's a tricky life that we have to live here. We're all, souls are all one. But to live our individual life, we have to dissociate. But when we dissociate, we create the one thing that souls cannot handle, which is to be rejected. A soul cannot handle rejection because its deepest desire is unity. So there's just two little sections here I want to read. What is evil? In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to deliver us from evil. This is usually taken to mean that we should turn our backs on evil, shunning it in all manifestations. And by the way, I've worked with the Lord's Prayer for many, many years. I use it constantly. And I would teach it to you, but I still haven't figured out what it means. Okay, the depth of it, what it's really all, because it is a code for power. And I've not figured out why, but when you use it, it is unbelievably powerful, and I'm just trying to understand it. But this describes a little bit of it around the deliver us from evil. The unfortunate result is that we end up delivering ourselves from the awareness of evil in ourselves and in the world and we have created. By denying the evil in ourselves, we push it underground where it grows like a cancer in the recesses of our unconsciousness. Only when we meet it face to face, bring it out into the light of awareness, can this energy be transformed into its original true nature. Only through the work of becoming more self-aware can we truly deliver ourselves from evil that has taken root in our unconsciousness. Okay? So the obvious levels of unconsciousness are, we normally reserve the word evil for negativity that is extreme and or consciously chosen. While moral distinctions can appropriately be drawn between different degrees of evil, there is nonetheless a continuum between the actions of a genocidal mass murderer like Hitler and the egotistical separateness in every one of us that unconsciously chooses to align with negativity and fear rather than surrender, love, and truth. Hitler's blindness and viciousness were rooted in the same negative forces that exist in every human being. When we repress our awareness of our own capacity for evil, we remain split within ourselves. So, what do you do inside of you to your lower self? Fuck you. I will not deal with you. You do not exist. How are you going to deal with anybody else's lower self? Fuck you. I will not deal with you. That's evil. You're rejecting the primal energy that they need to work through in their life. You're rejecting their a core essence of why they're here on the planet and their soul. Okay, and then this one for those of you that the Christian myth. Mine's 169 and 152. 169, the Christian myth. This is, and I'm going to show you how it works in the energy body after this. The Christian story of the original separation from God is the tale of Lucifer, God's second angel after Christ. It's really important to get. Lucifer was an angel, just like the person who pushed you in the corner yesterday. An angel gives you choices. And by the way, those of you that work with angels, that's what it looks like when you work with an angel. When angels come in for a healing, a real angel, someone's going to get their ass kicked. Something's going to go bad fast, where this person is about to die and they have a choice to die on the table with you or come back. They are horrific. Doreen Virtue has done so much damage. I mean, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to relate to that. When an angel shows up in a healing, you are in trouble. You know, now I'm not saying that your guides, if you believe in angels, your guides won't appear as an angel to you. And they'll come in and they'll say, I'm Archangel Michael. You know, but if Archangel Michael actually came down, you would be stepping back away from that table and saying, I am so sorry that this is going down right now. Because this person is at a life or death crisis mode. Okay? But we believe, because of all our silly stories that we're reading, that somehow angels just pop in whenever you want them. It's like somebody says, oh, yeah, you know, Carolyn Mace tells a funny story about she went all the way out to some, you know, in Louisiana, some hick town, somebody who has a wooden board sign out front that said, I channel Archangel Michael, come in, you're $10. I'll have Archangel Michael come down and give you a healing. You think Archangel Michael's coming down to her little shack every afternoon just to give somebody a healing for $10? Or do you think we got a crazy person in there? So it's really important for you to recognize that these angels are real, and they are doing unbelievable work, but they are not play toys for people. They are not play toys ever for the brain. So knowing about them, Doreen Virtue's versions of angels, are fun and cute, and they teach you something about them. Just go online and read about what those angels did, where they are, how they operate in the Bible, how they work, you know. It's okay. No, don't be scared, because if Archangel Michael did come in, you would be scared.
Okay.
But since you're not scared, remember, your guides know that you have only so much capacity for what you can let in. Okay, your energy field does. It creates images that you can deal with now at your level of evolution. If you need a vision of Archangel Michael being this sweet, smiling guy with a sword that's like handsome and sweeping you off and holding you and protecting you, of course Archangel Michael's protecting you. The archangels are protecting the whole planet. But they're not individually coming down to your room and tucking you in. Those are your guides, okay? And they will bring to you whatever you need to do to get you by, okay? Yeah, when a power when one of the archetypal powers shows up, your life's gonna change. Your life is gonna change when a real guide shows up, a real power guide for you shows up. You will do some serious suffering for a period of time because it literally is going to rewire you. So when we're all asking, that's one of, you know, and when you listen to Carolyn May, she says everybody asks for transformation, but I really can't deal with it this weekend. You know, I have this soccer game. You know, and I'd really like it to be, but I'd like to get massive transformation, but I'd like it to only come in small chunks so I don't have to really change my life. And can you make sure that it pays me a decent wage when I, you know, that's just child. That's the inner child trying to do spirituality, okay? When the adult steps into spirituality, they know if you call, be ready to change your life. Be ready to die to everything that's ever meant anything to you up till this moment, because they'll call you and ask you to do that. Because I've been called a number of times. How will you know? Yeah, you can't miss it. You cannot miss it. Yes. I don't know. I mean, that's her. That was her. Right. Yeah. Okay. So. Christian myth. Christian story of the original separation from God is the tale of Lucifer, God's second angel after Christ, who chose to pull away from his father, the Creator, in his rebellion. Lucifer became Satan, identified with separateness, pride, and self-will, the lower self. Okay? That's the hint, folks. Although he believed that he thereby created his own kingdom, Satan is subject to the ultimate laws of God's universe. The evil of Satan is not equal and opposite to the force and the power of God. Since God created Satan, endowed him with free will, Satan is bound by the laws of cause and effect, which means that sooner or later, he suffers from every negative choice he makes. It is this suffering that eventually awakens Satan to the reality of the pain and separateness engendered so that he can make a different decision. Satan's opposite is Christ, Christ's higher self. Christ personifies the eternal light of the divine. So does Satan personify the darkness of evil. All the dualities of our human reality result from this original division between Satan and Christ. So what are we describing? Heaven describes... Oh, that's wrong pen. Where are we here? One... Two, three. Wait a minute. Which ones are chakras? One, two. Right, up here. Oh, right up, over top. Here we go. Upper three chakras. So remember, humans wrote this whole story of created this notion of heaven, right? Well, where could it come from? This is heaven. This is hell. Lower self, Satan. Higher self, Christ. Each of us, the Bible story is about your life, not about people. Same thing as you in your life. When you recognize the Bible stories as who you are, when you recognize that the things that are coming to you are not their problem, not out there, not, boy, when I can walk on water like Christ, baby, that's when it's going to be. No, it's you are walking on water just by being you. Those elements, so Satan's opposite is Christ. The Christ personifies the eternal light of the divine, higher self. So does Satan personify the darkness of evil, lower self. No, the heart is the core self. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's the soul. All the dualities of our human reality result from this original division between Satan and Christ, darkness and light, evil and good. God is the unifying principle, Father of it all. And within each human being, all three characters coexist. At the dualistic level, we are both Christ, the universal higher self, Satan, the universal lower self, and the battle between our positive and negative impulses. But beneath it all are also God, the universal principle beyond duality. This is the duality that we struggle with. This is the raging battle between heaven and earth, not out there, not in some ridiculous religion, in humans. When we became conscious, see, before the Garden of Eden, which was before the cerebral cortex became conscious of itself, before humanids, whatever they were, whatever the breed was, whatever, however we bred to finally wake up this consciousness of knowing ourselves as individual selves, we were animals. We didn't worry about whether we ate someone else or did something. We were totally survival mechanisms, which are the lower three chakras. I am the only thing that counts. And if I need to unify with others so I survive, that's what I do. But it's not about them. It's about me. Animals band together not because they're thinking altruistically. They band together for survival. Once we became conscious, once we moved out of the Garden of Eden, once we became conscious of, we took the bite of the apple, knowledge of good and evil. That's when the cerebral cortex became aware that we could choose between good and evil. We could choose to realize of where we live, but we also became aware at that moment that within us is a soul that has a much higher purpose of unifying and evolving. original sin, and oh, and by the way, the God, the power, the core self, this is the part that remembers. The heart is the part that remembers that we live in two totally separate worlds. Original sin means the imperfect inherent in our human nature that results in the original choice to separate our consciousness from God consciousness. The awareness of original sin is simply awareness of our alienation from the whole. But this is not our most basic identity. Our most natural, our original nature is divinity, the heart. The distortions occurred later. The myth of Adam and Eve, Eve's choice to obey God and follow, to disobey God and follow Satan, thus resulted in expulsion from the primal Garden of Eden. And they came, the Garden of Eden was before consciousness. It was before humans became conscious. After they became conscious, they realized they were naked. They realized they were in a body. They realized they had to cover themselves, and what they had to cover themselves with was protections, their ego, their sense of self. They had to make a choice to be who they were. Before that, you had no choice. A dog does not decide what type of personality he's going to have. Humans do. The knowledge of good and evil was that you could choose to be your core self and your core qualities or not. When you have the power of God, which you all have, you have the power to create yourself in any way you choose. And that is called the mask. The myth of Adam and Eve's choices to disobey God and follow Satan, thus resulting in expulsion from the primal Garden of Eden, is one way of trying to personify our original choice to leave unitive consciousness. So not only did we have to choose to move out of unconsciousness, we also had to come down from heaven, from the unified soul state, and come into a body fully, this, consciously, and make the choice to be here. And so Christ's incarnation as Jesus marked the turning point in the evolution of our ability to realign with God's purpose, to know that we are already forgiven and totally loved despite the reality of our lower self. The actions of our flawed and partial ego consciousness and the actions of our flawed and partial ego consciousness. Since Jesus Christ showed us the way back to union with God, we are able to choose consciously to participate in the plan of salvation. But in the process, we must struggle daily between choosing Christ's way of consciousness, reunion with God, or Satan's way of egocentricism and separation from God. Okay, now, so what's the real problem here? We have evolved just far enough to step out of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is both places. It's the earth where we were an animal. When we were just this, without that, we just, you just club someone over the head and take their stuff. And there was no guilt or shame about that. That was just what it was. You know, if you were a berry picker or your job was to do, you didn't argue about whether I was going to be, it was just sort of like you did what you did. It was all based on survival, and it was not a conscious element. We had some level of intelligence, you know, probably more than monkeys, but it was, you know, we weren't conscious. We didn't have spirituality. We didn't have this awareness that there's something greater within us than even our physical self. Our physical self was all we are, and it's all we use. Okay? So there's that. And then there's our soul, unified with all souls, all conscious, all aware, a core quality, this awareness of spirit as our essence, as our essential nature. Okay? All right, now, it's not that souls don't inhabit dogs, but they only bring in a level of consciousness that's based on living in the lower chakras, lower three chakras. Dogs can make it up to the heart, but they're not going to be, you know, reading the New York Times. or trying to change their personality in any drastic way. They may hide it. They may go into defense down here. They may use defensive strategies to not to hide from things that you've trained them. But it was the human ego, it was the human mind that broke that dog's will to be themselves. You used your creative, your ability to create heaven or hell on earth, and you used it on the dog. You use it on you too. So since you know that heaven exists, you are in a real problem. Because this still is an animal. And this is still connected to unification, all together, all energy, the highest possible purpose that your energy system can have. Okay? So we are only half evolved. She mentions that in the book. It's really important for you to get. You're only half evolved. You're just awake enough to know that you have a spirit, but you are not ascended enough, as Christ showed. So like you can, the potential for human beings is to literally ascend in your body and live fully conscious at every possible level. But we're not. Our lower self is still very unconscious, very driven by will and fear. And when you realize that the battle between heaven and hell, between Christ and Satan, is you, you understand that you don't need to go to a church to be doing your work around religion. Yeah. I don't know anybody. There have been a few saints. You know, it's not. As a species, we're just barely above the first chakra. You know, it's probably another 10,000 years before we get up to the to be consistently living at the third chakra. We are evolved. We're like 80% at the first chakra right now. People on the planet are just surviving. Second chakra means that you are striving to make it better. You've had the epiphany. You've had the consciousness that I am more than this, and so now I'm going to work toward that. That's all of you. Okay, most of you. Okay? Some of you are still surviving, and you're here to survive better. Okay? But you're basically, the striving to find your inner peace is why you're here. That's a second chakra level of consciousness. Third chakra level of consciousness, you've attained self-realization as an individual. So you are completely at peace with your lower self. And at that moment, you can then be at peace with all other people, and the acceleration goes a lot faster from there. Once you are fully at peace with yourself, now you can come into relationship with other people, and you're open to the unit and the essential unity of all people, and you're no longer manipulated and controlled by outside influences. From the third chakra up, it's a very different world. We need each other down here to survive. We need each other here to sort of motivate each other to keep pushing. Can you do it? Yeah, lift more weight. Let's do this. Let's eat better. Let's feel better. Let's try to get to a place where we can find inner peace. Third chakra is inner peace. Fourth chakra is where you actually, if you make it to the fourth level, you'd think you'll be all lovey-dovey. It's actually where you accept other people and you allow them to live their lives unconditionally. That means letting them die, not fighting for something they don't want when they want to die. It means doing what Carolyn May says is we don't even know what love even looks like on this planet because we only know love as what we do for others, how we protect them from themselves, usually. Love would be a very different type of element where we'd fully accept. Creativity becomes this channeling of our God's power rather than something that earns us more money. Okay, so as you work up, it accelerates a lot faster. This is the slow period. We are in the slowest period of our evolution right now. And it's very, very difficult because our lower self, the not accepting our lower self keeps us stuck. If you begin to accept your lower self, you can make it to the upper chakras. But if you don't, you will always be in a battle. Our spiritual mask is the most dangerous of all things. The New Age movement, as much as it did wake people up to the fact that there are angels, there are things, there are all these things, is actually worse for us than working through our daily issues. Because a person who's very highly spiritual will rise above their issues when they never dealt with them. Not one day did they deal with them. It was always like, oh, bless you, my child. When really their lower self was saying, fuck you. Bless you means fuck you to a spiritual mask. Okay, yes. People are, it's not that people aren't living in their lower selves. Everything we do, and you look at the planet, I mean, corporations and religions are all first chakra entities. Governments, corporations, everything that runs the world right now is based on survival. And whoever can get the most wins. That's the first chakra. Doesn't matter. Yeah, there's no equality. It's the biggest dog wins, period. Your hope is, yeah, you just, but someone who comes into balance here, begins to find this balance, this is what our spiritual purpose is. To do what Christ did, which was to accept, okay, to understand his humanity and to feel it, is the ascension. He had to know himself as a man.
Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah. So that idea just reinforces the split and
repression. So just understanding, you have both the devil and Christ in you all the time. Your choice to live in one or the other, and there are lots of people. You all happen to choose the higher self a lot more than your lower self. But we all know people that find the lower self much more luscious. Okay, jails are full of them. Corporations, full of them. Okay? It's like there's no, you know, the world of politics, you know, it's about survival and manipulation, control, and power. This is the power center at the physical level. Okay, very important, yeah.
So if we were willing to accept this stuff.
Yeah. Right. It would disappear. Right. When this battle ends, the battles in the world end. But as long as this battle rages, everything that you see in the world will be a representation of that. You will see the battle in everything. And you will need to. And you'll notice that your lower chakras, your primary relationship, walks in the door. And you create the battle. Or you realize that this is my chance right now to be present with my choice over heaven and hell. Heaven is acknowledging my true needs, the true needs of my lower self, the true needs of my higher self. We have to come into that. So what we do, knowing that we have parts of our lower selves which are murderers, okay? So what do? We say, I'm not a murderer, and we put that out here in the mask. Not a murderer.
But what's fascinating is murder. So what's on TV?
Right.
You can't turn the TV on with, you know, like I got a really interesting lower self lesson because my son loves rap and hip hop music. And listening to him and watching some videos, and I'm like, these guys are like walking manifestations of the lower self. And they're not apologetic about it.
Yeah, it's their power. And so the mask are the parts of the lower self quality, which we all know we have bodies, you know, but to own that your body smells, not so much. You know, I wear Under Armour deodorant, I do this, I do the, you know, whatever it is. I cover up the parts I'm not. And so what I present to the world is only part of who I am. So the mask is created by rejection of our true nature. And really get this. The devil is God. Get it. It's essential. Christ is God. This is what our religions have abused us with, is that your natural inclination to isolate and survive is evil. It is when you're not attached to it, which they demand that you be. So if you're supposed to be all good and all religious, you deny it. You detach from it. You do what the worst thing you could ever do to another human being is reject them. So what happens as a child when we come in and we've got all this, we're all this, we're literally this as a child. We are a wild animal as a child. And the parent goes, no, you're not. Not in this household. That is as evil as you can be. Do you have to do it to teach them to fit in our society, which is all based on first and second chakra and the rules and these things? Absolutely, you don't have a choice. We do what we are supposed to do. We wound them just the way we're supposed to. Is it actually helping them ascend? No, it will become the reason that they can't. Because when they pretend that they're somebody that they are not, they create a mask out here. And so now what I want you to, I'm just going to make this link right now, okay, so you can sort of see why I really, really want you to make sure every week you go through those vows and that new sheet I gave you, go through those behaviors of your profile and start building your life, your real life, not the one you pretend. Because so energy, there's a pool of energy of life force energy. Look at this pen. There's a pool of life force energy that we genetically grew out of. Right? Our bodies, this vessel that spirit has decided to come into to make us conscious that we could actually be a physical form that's conscious of God and be God. Okay? Starts down here, this huge amount of a pool of raw life force, okay, that comes up through our body. There is another pool up here, a spiritual source, okay, that's also pouring into our body, reminding us that we are one with God. So this is reminding us that we are an animal. This reminds us constantly that we're God. Okay? These two forces are right here, life purpose line. They pour in constantly. Now, that energy that pours through us and specifically pours into us in one way only, we're of 7 billion people on the planet, we're a one of a kind. It pours into you differently than any other person on the planet, and the way it pours in is based on your genetics and your energy field. And it comes in, and that's pleasure. That's what pleasure feels like. Pleasure from top down, pleasure from the bottom up. We have both all the time. When that pleasure comes up and it hits something that we're not allowed to be, first chakra. What's the first chakra vow that any of you have? First chakra vows?
Well, I'll never be like my mom.
Never be like my mom. Okay, what happens to that energy that's supposed to come all the way up and meet, and they meet right in the heart, right? They're supposed to meet in the heart and live totally alive and in love and passionately pleasure and feelings in life. What happens? Hits the first chakra and goes, oh, I better not be like my mom. How can I not be like my mom? I got all her genetics. I grew up around her. Everything I know about how I speak the language, how I feel, is my mom. How could that not be? I love being a bitch like my mom. I love the fact that she taught me all those incredibly great things. I want to be conscious of that. I do not want that in my shadow, but we do. The vow puts it all in the shadow. So now you're just like your mom. And they wake up 20 years later going, oh my God, I'm my mother. Because why? Because your consciousness, this beautiful pleasure of consciousness, was all channeled into being something that you are not in your mask. Okay, second chakra vow. What do we got in second chakra? Energy's coming up. Whatever made it past there. So now you got these vows in the first chakra, you know, of the raw energy, just the raw power. Okay? It's coming up. It hits the second chakra. What's the second chakra vow? I'm not telling you how I feel. Right? What? Okay. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not like those dirty whores. Right? Boom. All that pleasure of being a dirty whore. Right? Just gone. I mean, why? Right? I can't be a bitch like my mom, can't be a dirty whore. What kind of life is this? Right? I mean, if you're really going to live the lower self, I mean, wouldn't those two things be like, you know, God damn, let's not give it all away. But remember, it's not just one vow in there. You got like 200 vows in the first chakra. So that's about 90% of the energy gone before it even hits the second chakra. Second chakra then takes another whack at it, puts all this energy, literally the life force, the pleasure you could have of being you, is pushed out into a false mask, a false self that looks like this. I'm going to show you my mask. Don't tell anybody. Aren't I incredible?
You're perfect.
Da, 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 da. Every now and then you look around and you go, oh, no. You know, somebody starts to see you and you go, oh, sorry. No, this is it. This is who I am. I'm not kidding. Here. Now, what's the problem? Ugh. Look at how hard it is to hold this up. All my life force, everything I am, eventually, if you had to hold this up, if I had to hold this for even 10 minutes, I'm going to get exhausted. I'm going to have, oh my God, I'm going to need a goddamn chiropractor. I'm going to need some, I'm not going to ever have time to eat, never to have no nutrition, no actual energy in my body, because everything I'm doing is holding up a lie. So your mask isn't just a little mask. It's like, oh, I've got the, you know, get the love mask. It's draining everything that you have to live your life through. You got nothing left. When you have a mask, you got nothing left. That's why you can't change your life. When we say calling your energy back, we got to call it out of your mask. Well, yeah, I would start with that, and I would start with the fact that there was a quality in your mom's bitchiness that was actually pretty amazing. That you rejected, you threw the baby out with the bathwater, like you do with yourself. Your bitchiness is really good. You know? Let's own that part. And that energy then can flow up and be pleasure. Okay? And so the same thing applies in all the other chakras. I won't have to go through all the chakras, but just picture that the energy is coming down and being rerouted, 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 until all you have to live your life purpose and have inner peace is like, you know, this tiny little like drop of energy, you know? And then you wonder, why does my life just keep, why am I keep recycling the same problem? Why do I keep doing this to myself? Because you don't have enough energy to be in the present moment. The mask lives in the future and the past. It's like, this is who I need to be all the time. I don't want you to know who I was in the past. I need you to know this is who I am. This is what I am. It's the lie. And so just picture now. You were given, when we left the Garden of Eden, when we left the animal kingdom, okay, and we decided that we were going to be God. That was what the apple was about. It was like, no, I will no longer be a servant to God. I will make my own choices. Right? So the knowledge of good and evil, which, by the way, the snake, who was Thoth, the Atlantean, he was supposedly the one that woke up consciousness in all in humanity, reminded us, because the lower self reminds you that God does not have dominion over your choices when you are God. You cannot defer anymore. When you become conscious, you have to make your own choices. Now, you chose to be conscious, whether you like it or not. And let me finish on this, and then you can ask a question. So now you have the power of creation. You took it away from God. You chose to take away the power of creation from God. Now, what did you create? You actually, when you create a mask, you create something actually outside of God's domain. You take all the energy of God, all the pleasure of being alive and life itself and flowing and moving and everything, and you create a universe that doesn't exist, has no purpose, and has nothing to do with any life purpose that God ever created. Isn't that amazing? Think about how powerful. Think about how fucking crazy people are. And they've used the actual gift, they actually using their God power to create something that God can't even see. Why? Because it doesn't exist on the spiritual plane. It's a complete lie. It's your fabrication that nobody else even in the world knows. It's your own way of avoiding being alive. So the mask is not something that's a cute little thing you got. It's what's killing you. So pleasure is what we're supposed to have at every possible level. Chakras are pleasure. The pain in them, like we were saying. And that cycle of pleasure and pain, it's just what life is. When we create and are allowing ourselves to create pleasure from our pain, okay, and recognize the folly and the pain in trying to hang on to our pleasure, okay, that's when we become co-creators with divinity, with the planet. We no longer abuse the planet in the lower chakras like we're doing and possibly murdering the entire civilization if we continue the way we're going with the planet. Totally dissociated. We allow that joy of being present here in the lower self. And then we bring down, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? We keep trying to travel to other planets with a spaceship. When your consciousness is freed, you're going to be able to literally take yourself to another planet, to another world, to another universe. You just, when you become whole, as Christ is, like, hey, you know what, let's just check out. Let's ascend. So are there any questions on this? Because this is basically the talk. I'm done with that. But I really want you to get that your vows are how you redirect energy into your insanity, your mask. And that mask doesn't have any purpose at all in life as we know it. Even though it's a great defense to not showing the things you are allowing in yourself. So embracing all of your dirt, your devil, and all of your higher self is the spiritual journey. And to do that, you have to come into the heart to do it, and that's your core self. So any questions on this?
So before we come into this life, we decide to go through the things that we want to go through. Do we decide to create this mask, or do we decide to come into this path, or to explore it, take it away?
No. Yeah, well, yes. Yes and no. I mean, the cosmic joke is us. Because we're this sort of ugly stepchild of consciousness, okay? And we're the genius older brother of a warthog, you know? Right? Right? We're right there, right in the middle. Warthog, there you go. Perfect. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little tricky where we are right now. But accepting that we don't have to be some great thing, but what we need to be is us, and we have to stop taking all of those vicious egocentric needs to be totally in control, totally better than others, to all that stuff from the lower self, and just acknowledge that, yeah, I want to do that, but it's not my highest purpose. You know, there's a calling, that energy, the energy down here feeds the ability to do this. This is the problem, okay? We need to evolve our willingness to be in our lower self so that the higher self has enough power to manifest heaven on earth, okay? What we're manifesting is hell. If you didn't notice, the description of hell in the Bible, fire burns, people kill each other, there's dissociation, there's unconsciousness, there's fear, there's will, right? All the deadly sins, all totally alive, primary ways of people operate on the planet. We're living in hell, folks. That's what the lower chakras are when you're not conscious of them. When you're conscious of them, we live in the Garden of Eden. You want to step back in the Garden of Eden? Look at the planet. How often do you go outside with your mask issues? Oh my God, I got this, I got that. And it's like, it snowed. No, my mask is in. Fuck the snow. God damn, I can't even get a tray off on my car. And you know, it's like, you're missing white shit fell out of the sky. And it's making everything beautiful. No, I don't have time for that. I have my life to live. My mask tells me who I am. This stupid stuff doesn't give me any pleasure. Everything's pleasure. Everything is pleasure. Okay? Yeah. That's a complete lie. Now, you read 11 minutes, right? The sacred prostitute is the woman on the planet that's as powerful as the most powerful man. She wasn't a prostitute. He wasn't a painter or a carpenter. He was an alchemist. She was a probably well trained, highly disciplined. Who did High Priestess? Claudia was doing it. Yeah, she was a high priestess. So just the stories. Remember, the Bible was written by people who had a reason to write that Bible. We needed to control how people were thinking. And religions are not designed in the lower self to do anything other than control people's thinking and where they invest their creative force, right? If you create a big enough pool of human beings, even if they're unconscious, and ask them to think something, it becomes real on the planet. Go ahead. No, priestess is the ultimate power of the woman. Okay, they have it all. Okay. Right, they are untouchable. They are totally the receptive element. They take in the high priestess's power is the feminine power embodied.
It's the feminine patriarch.
Right, and sadly we should have a female Bible. There should be a female Christ, which would be like a high priestess or something, you know, and. What?
White buffalo woman.
White buffalo woman. But we really should have a religion. We really should have a religion that has and has men as being the scourge of the Right. I mean the truth is that both are true. We just happen to have a patriarchal society that and just Just our teacher did a lot of her thesis work when she was in school on Christ and the religion, and there's all sorts of documentation that showed when Christ had his message, when he finally figured out that you know, by the way, Christ was non-religious, right? He wasn't going, "Hey, I'm a Christian. Take it easy on me. You know, we're holy." He was non-religious. Non-religious. He didn't believe in religion.
He was a Jew.
Right. He knew that this is religion. Kingdom of heaven. Where? Oh, easy message. Treat others like you treat you. What a thought. What a concept. Non-religious guy. He would go around and he would find the person that had the highest ability to hold that basic quality of presence and power. And almost always it was a woman. It wasn't until the church decided to go and kill them and let the fiefdoms and kingdoms needed the church to work with the male-dominated kingdoms, so they needed a male priest in that role. And so they replaced them all with men. And so Christ chose women because they have a more receptive, open system naturally. Men can do it. It takes a lot more work. Okay? So he was actually a great role model for our planet because we needed to see a man do it. Had we seen a woman do it, it wouldn't have quite had the same impact. Now that a man showed that you can become that open, that unconditionally loving, now we cannot pretend it didn't happen. We can, you know, put it in all sorts of texts that you can get confused about it. So, all right, we need to end this. So, everybody good? Okay, all right. Let's take a break.
Lunchtime.
Oh, lunchtime.
You're quick on the